The One by Lillian De Waters. Chapter 5. Absolute Science. Absolute science is the message of the finished kingdom at hand now. It is not the science of health, but it is the science of wholeness. It is not the science of right thinking, but it is the science of intelligence. It is not the science of mind over matter or mind over mind, nor is it the science of progression or evolution. Absolute science delivers the message of perfect God and perfect man, one being, untouched by any dream or belief. It is the science of illumination, the science of insight and understanding. I came to redeem and not to destroy, uttered the Lord of heaven and earth. The way to redeem unreality is to see that it is unreality. The way to redeem a dream is to see that it is a dream. Only believe, entreated he. The door out of a dream is the door of true belief, for true belief leads to understanding. Redemption is vision, perception, understanding that one cannot destroy the things in a dream, that one cannot destroy a shadow or an illusion. Renunciation is giving up ignorance, giving up belief in matter, mind, and personality. Renunciation of that which is already nothing. What is the meaning of the word absolute? We really cannot define spiritual things in material terms. The best we can say is that absolute truth represents that which is eternal, indestructible, glorious, and satisfying. It is that isness, unutterable and undefinable. Labor not with your minds to reach heaven, for the way is a laborless pathway. There is but one door. Believe that ye are already there. The Master calls you today. Come, open your vision to the glory of yourself as you eternally are, the glory of the kingdom within and at hand. The point of consideration is not a matter of our goodness or badness, patience or resistance, but it is, where is my belief? What is my attitude towards self and reality? One can never be held in bondage after he sees its nothingness. As soon as a lie is seen to be a lie, it has no power. The science of right thinking and right conduct entails strenuous labor. Let us remember the divine decree. The righteousness of the righteous shall not save him, nor the wickedness of the wicked destroy him. There is no personal goodness or badness. There is no personality at all. The only power is the truth which one is. The self is power because its own existence. Life is its own power. The inspiration and illumination possessing us and manifesting under our praise and recognition of the One Being, Infinity, delivers to us instruction not read in books nor heard on hilltops. When one performs miracles, it is as though he stood in a place where he is absent both from the body and from the mind. He is not consciously thinking, yet he is bathed in a blazing light of power, glory, and understanding. He does not question whether a certain healing will take place or a certain pocketbook be filled, but he simply looks at truth and knows the answer. And what is our guide? What is our standard of knowledge? How shall we determine whether a thing is or is not? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things bring peace, joy, and glory, whatsoever things bring satisfaction and contentment, such have their foundation in truth. Why is it more difficult for some to understand absolute science than it is for others? Understanding is not a mental function. Understanding is spiritual consciousness. Many are trying to work out their problems of life with their minds as they would do sums in arithmetic. Many have spent years in the study of truth, yet have not fulfilled the desires of their hearts because they tried to mentally acquire truth instead of to spiritually understand it. Some there are who read truth or who listen to instruction and immediately believe and accept without question, without argument. It is all settled with them from the start. They feel that it is true. Others hear, but they must consider it first. They must debate about it and test it. Now he who would prove truth before accepting it has the cart before the horse. If it were a fact that man can actually change from sickness to health, from one stage or condition to another, better state by following certain methods and procedures set forth, then he could with impunity seek to prove truth before accepting it. But such is not the case. Man is not to put on health and harmony. Man is not to create it or unfold it or attain it. But man is to believe that he is the likeness of God, like God, perfect, changeless, eternal, glorious now and here. Simple, trusting hearts find it easy, joyous to believe in truth. They do not ask for proof. They know in their hearts it is so. They do not argue or strive to reason in their minds just how truth works and how treatments heal. Their faith is enough to encourage them until fuller understanding is revealed to them, while those who insist upon understanding truth with their reason find the journey long and wearisome. Now one person may read a book that contains wonderful spiritual understanding, a new and fuller presentation of truth, and still it may make no impression upon him at all. Perhaps he may even think it something very ordinary that he is reading, something commonplace and not at all inspirational. Another person picks up the same book, and as he reads it, as though someone took him by the hand and led him out into green pastures where he drank of cool, clear water until he was filled with ecstasy and delight. He is drinking from the well of understanding, where everything is shining bright about him, and now his vision is like crystal. He not only sees and feels truth, but even more than this, he is truth. The wonder and glory of such moments when the act of truth is at hand, only such as have seen and felt can really understand. Now, why do not all students of truth receive the same good from the same book? Because of their different attitudes, their apparently different states of consciousness. One may read a book containing priceless spiritual jewels, yet to him these jewels are of no value, for his own vision is clouded and he recognizes them not. Another student, having a clear and satisfying understanding of truth, reads this same book, and while he reads it, is always as though he were on the lookout. He is quick, keen, alert, always watching for new and fuller ideas, and if they are in the book, he is sure to find them, to recognize them, to seize them. He has, as it were, within himself a flashlight which blazes on the words, taking from them their essence, their substance, feeding upon them as though he were eating the bread of life and drinking from the living water. The glory of inspiration and revelation is upon him. Oh, glorious one, how wonderful to behold thy presence! How joyful to be carried away on the wings of glory and bask in the light of illumination! How peaceful, how powerful to recognize and partake of divine ideas, fresh as the breath of morning, fair as the cloudless day! It is never too late. Do not look over the past years and grieve because of false steps you have taken, because of precious years you have wasted, because of labors lost. This is only the dream. In heaven there can be no false steps nor any mistakes. Open your heart and vision to the message of truth. There is no time in God. One day in truth is the same as 1,000 years in a world of attainment. Bravely now, with courage born of insight, look up and cry, "It never happened. I never lost a moment's time. I never made a single mistake. With the vision of God, I behold there is no past." But there is but the eternal hour of changeless glory and harmony. The moment is here when I perceive clearly the nothingness of experience. A young man went to his teacher with this question. Using absolute science, how shall I treat so that I can find my right place in business? This man was then earning a very small salary and was earnestly desirous of obtaining a better position. The teacher said to him, "Go home and declare that you are in your right place now, that man is always in his right place of abundance and harmony." He understood and closely followed directions, returning in a few days to relate that he had been called to a position of high order, which completely satisfied him at that time. Now suppose that this man had stopped to reason and debate over the directions of the practitioner. Supposing that he had thought to himself like this, "Now how can I say that I am in my right place when I know it is not true, for I want to make a change? Before I believe in this science, I want to see the proof. When I have a good position offered to me, then I will have some faith and belief." The demonstration would not have been forthcoming. Listen, we do not declare the truth about appearances, about this seeming world, about experience, but we declare the truth about perfect man, the truth about the perfect world, the truth about reality. Man is always in his right place in heaven, is he not? Then accept this fact, believe it without doubt or question, and according to your belief and faith in heavenly things, so shall it come to pass, even in your seeming external or earthly world. A student went to his teacher, explaining that he wanted a business position. He was without employment. He was a capable, worthy man, and a truth student. Still, the demonstration was not made, much to his disappointment. The teacher said to him, "I suppose that you are desiring a good position. You believe that you have none at present, and you expect truth to help you find something satisfactory to you." The answer was, as the teacher expected, in the affirmative. "Then this is why your demonstration is delayed," was the verdict. When you feel ill, you do not acknowledge this in science, but you declare that you are perfect, so also you need not accept and believe that you have no position now, but you must see and acknowledge that man is never for a single moment separate from abundance, harmony, and satisfaction. The student recognized his mistake at once and proceeded to demonstrate according to truth, according to that which is. Very soon he was called to a very splendid position. Be not discouraged if you do not receive insight and understanding at once. It has been asked, why should we have to read and study truth? Why should we learn if we are all things already? Instruction is not for the purpose of delivering something to a student which he has not already. The reason why we read about truth and listen to instruction is because it is that which soul already knows. We are coming into our own. We love to hear and to perceive that which is our very own, that which is our nature and our being. It stirs us with mystic joy and delight. For instance, when one adorns himself with some precious jewels or clothes himself in gorgeous raiment, the very first thing he seeks is the mirror. He delights to view himself, to watch the sparkle of the jewels, to note the style of the garment, to see himself, does he not? As man views himself in the mirror for the satisfaction that it brings, and not to add anything to himself thereby, so it is that as one reads a book of truth or listens to instruction, he is not really learning anything. He is but looking into the mirror of life and viewing himself as he is. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear to us in this world what we shall be in our perfect state. But we know that when he, the real self, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As the self looks into the mirror of true instruction, he sees his true likeness, himself, as he is. Oh, how swiftly love and peace enfold us on the thrill of our recognition of the one being, infinity. As flame lights flame, so inspiration fires inspiration. And he who speaks the living word fans into being that flame in another. For the other is, after all, himself. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto these, ye have done it unto me. How thirstily one drinks as his lips touch the living water, and how hungrily one partakes of supernal bread. As the day of enlightenment, the day of insight, the day of wisdom sheds its dawning light into the hearts of men, so the shadowy night of ignorance is dispelled. The voice of light is forever proclaiming, I speak truth. I proclaim that which is eternally true in the consciousness of the one being. There is no darkness. There is no evil. There is no deception. There is no bondage. There is no dream. There is no sleep. I am the joy of the world. I am the light shining immaculate and supreme. I am authority, power, majesty, glory. I am the one and only presence and being. With explanations and illuminations as presented by absolute science, the nothingness of sickness, of evil, is made plain. Now the only sickness that one can ever have is his thought that he is sick. No man can ever be sick, actually. He can be sick only in belief. One may ask, well, what is the difference? The pain is the same in either case. What does it matter whether one dies in belief or dies actually? If one were actually sick, he would never recover. If one actually died, he would remain dead eternally. If one is sick in belief only, then he can be healed in belief, and he can then enjoy the health which he is. Now, let us see this clearly, that there is no limitation, trouble, evil of any kind, except in thought, in belief. All there is to a man's sickness is his thought of it, his belief in it. There is no such thing as evil or limitation except what we think is evil or limitation. We experience sickness, evil, according to our thinking, according to our belief in them. Hence, they are mental, unreal, and not material or real. Suppose that you sit at a table to eat some bread, but as you take the slice in your hand, preparatory to placing it into your mouth, someone across the table from you hypnotizes you into the belief that it is not bread that you are holding in your hand, but it is a slice of watermelon. So now you take a fork and try to extricate the seeds, and you eat the bread thinking it is melon. Is what you eat melon, or is it bread? It is melon to you in this spell or hypnosis, but you are actually eating bread. You see, you do one thing in your mind, an unreal, impossible thing, and you do another thing actually of which you are not consciously aware. There is no melon present except in your belief or thought, and eating melon in belief is the same as not eating melon at all, is it not? Right here is the place for one to behold clearly, as never before, that the thought of evil, the thought of sickness, of poverty, does not make evil, sickness, poverty. Your thought of sickness does not make you sick for all the time you are perfect and well, but your thought or belief in sickness produces a spell, a mesmerism, so that in belief you are sick, and as soon as you can perceive that the sickness is wholly a mental state, you can then surely behold its nothingness. There must be belief in sickness in order to experience sickness, and even when one says that he is experiencing it, it is not an actual experience, but is an experience taking place in his mind only. Thus, this is why it came about that it has been taught, thinking makes it so. Thinking makes it so to you, to your belief. But thinking a thing does not actually make that thing. Thinking the bread is melon does not make it so, does not make the bread melon. Thinking the world evil, the body sick, does not make an evil world, nor a sick body, except to one in his belief or mental state, which is the very same as not at all. One may think good thoughts all day long, and still this will not make him good if he is not good already. The same as if, while believing that you were eating melon, you began to declare that it was really bread. Your declaration or right thoughts about it would not make it so, for it would be so already. But your recognition that it was bread and not melon would dislodge the false belief, and then your right thinking would be an outflow of your right understanding. Therefore, let us think we are good because we are good. Let us think we are well because we are well. Let us think we are wealthy and prosperous because we are wealthy and prosperous. Let us think we are birthless and deathless because we are birthless and deathless. Let us think there is only the One because there is only the One. In plain words, let us not think a thing is true because we wish it that way, but let us declare and assert it is that way because it is that way. We are not well and strong and happy and harmonious because of our right statements that we are this way, but it is because we are this way. Because we are well and happy and strong and prosperous that we state that we are. This brings the vision in instead of out. This glorifies God on earth as in heaven. This glorifies, recognizes truth outwardly because it is so inwardly. The way of insight is a path over which the feet do not walk, nor does the mind travel. It is a way seen only with the divine or incorporeal eye. Let us know and acknowledge that we are as perfect and as immortal now, this instant, as we ever shall be. One who looked toward the heights boldly wrote, "Stop talking about God and his idea and speak unto majestic deity face to face. So shall majestic man arise, victoriously daring." To be charged to overflow with irresistible miracle-working spirit while yet in the flesh. To be the radiant of buoyant joy while yet walking among the sons of man. To shed perfume of healing and strengthening and illuminating while yet speaking with us and smiling upon us. This is the final Christian ministry. This is the bloom of full obedience to the sacred edict. Look unto me.